Today on Real Life Radio.
If ever in doubt, default to the proclamation of Christ, his last recorded words, "Surely I come quickly." Why should we evangelize? Because surely he comes quickly. Why should we study the Bible? Because he's coming quickly. Why should we be involved at all? Because he's coming quickly. Time's running out.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, I Am Coming Quickly. Boy, doesn't that title sound great? As we now approach the end of Revelation, there's a sense of anticipation, a real sense of urgency. You see, surely I am coming quickly are the last recorded words of Jesus. This final message to the church is telling us to be ready, to stay awake. But really, what does that mean? A question we've got to ask ourselves if we're going to be faithful to the end, if we're going to persevere in this life, and if we're going to be effective as Christians. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that because Jesus is coming quickly, we've got to know our Bible. Many will tamper with what God says to be true. Many will try to confuse what Jesus says to be true. And many will try to improve upon what the Holy Spirit says to be true. If we know our Bible, we're not going to be deceived in the end. Now in his message called, I Am Coming Quickly, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The end of the book of Revelation, the ending verses of this great book. And my friend, listen, it's the last words of Jesus written in red. The letters of red, the letters of Jesus himself, we will read in a moment in verse 20, surely I come quickly. And he's not just talking to you, surely, he's talking to every one of us. Jesus said his last words, isn't it interesting? His last words to the church and to all those who would pick up the Bible. At the end of the book, the last thing he says is, surely I come quickly. That means that is supposed to be embossed upon our hearts as a church, as a Christian. What should drive us? If ever in doubt, default to the proclamation of Christ, his last recorded words, surely I come quickly. Why should we evangelize? Because surely he comes quickly. Why should we help the poor? Because surely he comes quickly. Why should we study the Bible? Because he's coming quickly. Why should we be involved at all? Because he's coming quickly. Time's running out. And for the Christian, it's a very exciting thing. For the non-Christian, not so exciting. Friday night at the Harvest Crusade, I want to quote something that Greg Laurie said. Here we've been learning about Jesus making his announcement regarding the revelation of himself, the Christ, and now he says, I come quickly, and the urgency to come to Christ and know him personally. But Friday night, Greg Laurie quoted Oprah Winfrey and what she said about heaven and how to get there and who can enjoy heaven. And there's some new theology. We're going to hear a lot about some theology today. There's some new theology out there. The latest theology is from Oprah Winfrey. And she says that I used to think that there was only one way to God. And now I know there are many ways. She says, in fact, as I read and travel and experience all that I have, I think that as long as you're sincere, you'll make your way to God. Well, listen, in all due respect to her, let's give honor where honor is due. All roads do lead to God. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. All roads lead to God. There's a door that will lead to God, and everyone will see God. What you need to be thinking about is what's behind door number two. Because the Bible says every man and woman will stand before God. That's true. So in that sense, Oprah's right. All roads lead to God, but not all roads lead to Christ in heaven. Big difference. Jesus says, I'm the door. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Everyone will stand before God, but not everybody gets to stay. And that's important, Oprah. Very important. So as we look to these things that Jesus, that John, that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has to say to us today, we want to be very, very careful. And so we're going to look at several things. Follow along with me, though, beginning in verse 18 of chapter 22. We will end out this study and this great and lofty book. Revelation 22:18, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says," and listen to the quotation, "and the letters are written in red, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen," says John. These final words demand of us an attentiveness. These final words of Christ, these final words of the Holy Spirit to man in the revelation of the Bible to mankind, these final words to John, or from John, I should say, demand that we pay close attention. Church, use your minds this morning and think. I'm going to challenge you today to be very careful, because you and I, like never before, listen, like never before in human history, on this date and at this hour, there are more false prophets, there are more cults, there are more people now having added to the Bible and taken away from the Bible. There are more now of those saying he is not coming back than there has ever been at any time in recorded history. And that is not just an easy thing to say. It is a factual thing to say. There are more people against the coming of Christ and trying to confuse you and dilute you from believing that than ever before, even in so-called Christian circles. There are people who are flooding the market with additions to and claiming that it is the Word of God. And not only that, there are those that are detracting, taking away from the Bible and offering a new explanation as to eternity, salvation. What did God really mean? And so, like no other time before, we need to know the Bible. You need to know your Bible. I'm going to ask you, because I need the encouragement today. Will you hold up a Bible if you have it in your hand? Will you just hold it up? I want to see it. Now, if you can keep it up, look around. Look at that. Man, I tell you, thank you so much. That's pretty awesome. And if you didn't bring a Bible, you feel kind of weird right now, I know. But if you're visiting and you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you a Bible. So Jesus says, "I'm coming quickly." And we ought to be encouraged. We need to know, like never before, the things that are necessary regarding his coming quickly. My friend, we're going to look at four things. Number one, because Jesus is coming quickly, number one is this. We need to know, watch this, we need to know our holy Bibles like never before. But in your note-taking, note how the word holy is written. W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, complete, absolute, in its totality. Yes, the Bible's holy, but I'm talking about complete. We need to know our completed Bible like never before. Why do I put it that way, completed Bible? The Bible that you have in your lap, in the months ahead, we're going to be getting into some wonderful studies together regarding the validity of your Bible that you have in your lap, the assurance of it. We're going to be having a fantastic time exposing some things that are against this statement right here, but the Bible says of itself that it is the Word of God. Church, listen, what you just held up a moment ago does not contain the Word of God. Did you hear that? What you held up a moment ago does not contain the Word of God. What you held up a moment ago is the Word of God, and there's a big difference. There are those that are out there today saying that the Bible contains the Word of God, meaning that not all of it is Bible. When you ask them, "Oh, really? What is?" They'll tell you, "Come and join our school, or come and visit our campus, or come to our group, and we will tell you what is real Bible and what is not." All of a sudden, they are the authority. We're going to talk about those people in a moment. But we need to know our Bibles, our holy Bibles, like never before, and in all of its completeness. For God has given us his revealed word. The book of Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God in former times spoke unto the prophets, spoke out of the prophets unto the fathers, has in these last days spoken unto us by his own dear son. The word of God that you have right now is the word of God that was given by the Holy Spirit at the consummation of John's life. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says of itself, is the author of the scriptures. God declares and God preserves the Bible. Anything added to the Bible, God will deal with. And yet you and I are living in a day and an age where it seems to be vogue to add to the Bible. We're going to be looking at several groups, and then we're going to be rejoicing in what we know to be true as Christians. Number one, we need to know our holy Bibles like never before. The Bible here says in verse 18, "For I testify," this is a legal statement, John's under oath, "For I testify to everyone," that's us, "and all those since the giving of this word way back nearly 2,000 years ago, who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." If anyone adds, very, very important. The word means here to add. It means to tamper with, to confuse, or to attempt to improve upon. If you were to break it down, it might look like this: to tamper with what the Father has said. You don't mess with what God says. Now, I don't know if you know that or not. Better for you, you know it, than for those who don't. You don't mess with what God says. He's very jealous about his Bible. Read Psalm 138. Psalm 138 tells us that God reveres his word even above his own name. And then the other thing is, you don't want to add to God's word because you don't want to confuse what Jesus has already said. You see, God the Father, so to speak, in totality, revealed to us that Christ was coming. Now that Christ has come and given us the Gospels, and we see here in the closing statements of the book of Revelation what Jesus says about, "Surely I am coming quickly," you don't want to confuse what Jesus said. And yet today we have people bold-faced contradicting what Jesus has said. Why? There's no fear of God in their lives. They do not believe that God will judge. They think he's impotent and that he will not intervene in the affairs of men, even though they have religious titles and they might even host or commend great, so-called great universities or churches. You don't want to tamper with what God has said. You don't want to confuse with what Jesus has said. And you never want to be guilty of trying to improve upon what the Holy Spirit has said. For the Bible tells us that God the Spirit is the author of the Bible. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. You've heard this verse before, but it bears repeating. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. By the way, Paul wrote this to the church at Galatia because they were under attack by cults. "But if we," listen to what he says, "but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so now we say again, if anyone preaches any other message or any other gospel or any other testament to you than what you have received, let him be damned." Man, when was this written? Nearly 2,000 years ago. And yet what has happened since that time? Nothing less than a plethora of false doctrine coming from cults. Anything that has been added since the scriptures is false. "Oh, but Pastor, I went to a guy last week and he was giving revelations from God." Hey, let me tell you something. If his revelations contradicted the Bible at all, it was not from God at all. "Well, what makes you so sure?" The Bible. That's why we need to wholly understand our Bible. That means we need to wholly stand firm upon the Bible, as we shall see. We need to know it like never before. Church, if Paul the Apostle was here right now, first of all, he would have been shorter than I am. He would have been bow-legged, okay? He would have had a big hooked nose and really squinty eyes, according to church history. This is what we know of him. But you know what he would say right now? He'd stick his finger out at us. He's a good Jewish boy, you know? That's how they talk. Paul would say, "Don't listen to what I have to say," he told the church, "but judge everything I preach to you by the word of God." That's the standard today. Look at all of you in this sanctuary this morning. It is incumbent upon you, not me. It's your job, not mine. You are to judge what I say according to the Bible. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." The Holy Spirit that is leading you, or for those of you, those of us who are saved, that is, we are Christians, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And when somebody starts saying something that's not biblical, have you ever had that alarm go off inside? Isn't it awesome? Whoop, 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 whoop. This guy's weird. This guy's strange. This guy's out of here. I'm leaving now. But we've got to be brought up in the Bible. It's not important what I say, yet God uses people to preach his word. If I were God, I would not have done that. I would have had angels preach it. But God uses people. Strange, isn't it? But we need to know our holy Bibles like never before. And so John says, "I testify, everyone and anyone who adds the plagues of this book will be upon them. What a critical thing. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Church, 1 John 4:1 says, many, not a few, false prophets have gone out into the world. How long ago was that said, roughly? Roughly 2,000 years ago. That means there's been a lot of false prophets since. How are you going to know? The Bible. The Bible is the authority. So who is going to attack the Bible? False prophets. Other spirits. Other messages from other things. Judge all that you hear and see. The Bible warns us about days that are coming, and I believe that are now here. We've got guys, I am not kidding when I tell you this. I was on an airplane recently. I was reading an article about a guy in Africa. He is literally called, in their African tongue, translated into English, the Holy Roller. You know what he does? Oh, listen, we laugh because that's insane. You know what he's doing? He's rolling across Africa. And wherever he goes and wherever he rolls, the ground is sacred and people are coming to know him. He's the one leading them the way into eternity. He's known as the Holy Roller. I read this in the London Times. People are flocking to him. And people, by the way, people are sending him money from all around the world. Insane. Crazy. Test the spirit, says the Bible. You say, well, Jack, that's absolutely ridiculous. I would never follow some Holy Roller. Well, you know what? I just want to offer a few names whereby they started out somewhat sane, but went nuts, and people didn't seem to bail out on those guys. Do you guys remember Jim Jones? I remember Jim Jones. I'll confess to you, I saw on a certain television program years ago, Jim Jones preaching. And let me tell you, that guy could preach. That guy could really, really. And then I tell you, he got famous, he got popular, and then the real guy began to come out. And look now, all those people that he killed so long ago. But it's still in our memory. What about David Koresh? People like that. There are a dime a dozen these days. Some of them, yes, I understand. Some of them are backyard prophets, but they're deceiving people nonetheless. Don't you think it's concerning to Christ that just one soul be lost to a false prophet? No wonder why the Old Testament said, don't even suffer a false prophet to even live. Why? Because they damned people's souls to hell. They're very dangerous. And now we've got them more than ever. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6 says, every word of God is flawless. Hey, how do you like your Bible? Every word of God is flawless. More on that in a moment. He is a shield to those who take their refuge in him. Do not add to his word, or else he will rebuke you and you'll be proved to be a liar. God's word is perfect. You know, somebody might say, oh, Pastor, my grandmother or my friend says that the Bible's not perfect, that it's got flaws in it. Okay, first of all, Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 says that it's flawless. Secondly, Jesus said it's flawless. Who are you going to side with? What God has to say? What Jesus has to say? How about this? What about archaeology itself? Surely you wouldn't go against good science, would you? Archaeology is a science. And in 1947, something was discovered in the Qumran caves in Israel. And when they were unearthed and studied by the Hebrew scholars there in Israel, it turned out to be the entire Old Testament, excluding the book of Esther. And when they broke open the old King James Bible and put the Dead Sea Scrolls side by side, they were absolutely, perfectly English copies of what was in the ancient Hebrew, written before Christ, by the way, of the Old Testament. Other documents as well, some of them legal and some of them commentaries. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Jesus said the word of God is so sure that not one jot or one tittle of God's word would come to an end until all these things be fulfilled. There's no doubt about God's holy or complete Bible. Yet right now, and you're going to be hearing a lot of this in the next few months because we're going to be raising the bar and going after this, is Dan Brown. There's a false prophet out in the world who's just sitting back counting his millions. In fact, I'm hearing that he's now nearing at this point in time, he's approaching nearly $500 million in personal gain. Did you hear how much that is? That's $500 million off of a bunch of suckers worldwide. Do you guys know who Dan Brown is? Yeah, I think you do. Dan Brown wrote a book called The Da Vinci Code. Oh. Dan Brown's a false prophet, and the world loves him, and people are eating it up. And Christians, or so-called Christians who don't even know their Bible, are eating it up because they're asking me questions about it. If you read your Bible, you won't be messed up by it. Dan Brown, in a satanic stroke of genius, by the way, wrote a novel. It's a novel to suck you in. You know, in the success of the Left Behind series, Dan Brown saw some dollar signs. And there's some so-called Christians that are doing the same thing right now, capitalizing on the market. And so when Dan Brown saw the success of the Left Behind series, So he writes this book called The Da Vinci Code, which, by the way, sat at, I think, 42 weeks, setting New York Times best-selling list records, maybe 47 weeks. And so the book starts out as a novel, but then brings you into doubt against the Bible and begins, according to Dan Brown, he makes statements. It's brilliant. He makes statements that are completely false. He knows they're false. He states them as truth because it's a novel. You can do that. And then people come on the other side of the book. They come out after reading it saying, you know what, there's only about 15 to 20% of the Bible that you can trust, because I learned from Dan Brown, 80% of it, you can't believe it. Dan Brown tells you how many children Jesus had and how many wives he had. Dan Brown will tell you that the Dead Sea Scrolls are nothing but a farce. Dan Brown will tell you that the culmination of the Bible was an absolute stroke of luck. Dan Brown will tell you that archaeology doesn't substantiate the Bible. The author of the Da Vinci Code is a false prophet dressed in a way that is most interesting to the world, and they're eating it up because it comes out as a novel, because novels are hip and vogue. And so others are producing novels to twist you into getting messed up Christian doctrine. And some of them claim to be Christians even as I speak. But how can I know that my Bible is holy or complete? I'm going to ask you to jot down three things. Very important. Please write these down. Stop pretending, first of all, about your Christianity and become one. How do I know if my Bible is completely, truly the Bible? Well, stop talking about it and stop living and start living it. Amen? Start doing it. You'll never know if the Bible is absolutely the Word of God and dynamic until you read it and get out and put it into practice. But you know what? Armchair Christianity will accomplish nothing. In fact, it slows everyone else down who's trying to do and live for God. Stop being a Sunday Christian and be an everyday Christian. And put God's word into power. You can sit around and debate the Bible and listen to all these. I got to tell you, it's hard enough for me to find time to study the Bible, and I'm a pastor teacher of the Bible. How can you spend time in books of lunacy and also get into your Bible and know it as well? I don't get it. Stop pretending and dive into the Word of God. More on that in a moment. Number two, determine now to put the Bible into practice. Go on a diet, I put it this way, and eat up the Word of God. So listen, stop pretending, determine now to practice the Bible, and go on a diet, meaning this, eat up the Bible. You know, the book of Jeremiah tells us, Jeremiah said, when I found your word, Lord, I ate it. And when I ate it, I found that it was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, I Am Coming Quickly. Thanks for being with us today. I Am Coming Quickly is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, you might feel like you're caught in a trap and temptation is waiting for you, right? Or perhaps old habits, newly disguised and repackaged, are catching you off guard. This month's Book of the Month is specifically designed to help you. It's called Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. It's written by our very own Jack Hibbs. It's a very practical book that offers us a very powerful and effective defense against these attacks. So don't let temptation trip you up ever again. The Lord has promised us that He will not lead us into temptation, but He's going to deliver us from the evil one.
It's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer, is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.